I'm telling you, we've had some amazing services in the last few weeks, and some really powerful things that have been spoken from the Lord. And Pastor just asked me to continue to pick up in that realm of prayer tonight. Was there anybody in this room that was not here on Sunday night when Dr. James Morocco ministered? You missed that service? Please, I encourage you to get the CD from beginning to end. It was really a word from God for Calvary. I mean, just a direct word. Go online. It's archived. You can listen to it there. But it's really a word to us as a church. And, you know, he said, I just didn't blow through here. I came here on purpose to deliver this word to you. And so everybody in the house should hear the word. Amen. We know that every service is powerful, every service is good, but when God sends somebody all the way from Hawaii to speak a word to us, then we ought to listen, amen? So we're responding tonight really to the word that he gave us, because he said in this next 3 months there needs to be a prayer increase, amen? And, you know, Pastor always says if we pray more, we'll see more. And that has a double side to it, because when you pray, you do see. The Spirit of the Lord begins to reveal things to you as you pray. So when you pray more, you see more. But also when you pray more, we see a greater move of the Spirit. We see greater answers to prayer. We see a breaking forth. We take that from the scriptures where it talks about the Lord of breakthrough, Baal-perazim, God who is breaking through. And when we pray more, we see more of those breakthroughs. We've had a tremendous amount of breakthroughs. I think we could just have a complete evening of testimony time, because we've had a lot of breakthroughs in this congregation, a lot of things that have been lingering and challenging for periods of time that have just broken through, and maybe we'll even get to some of those tonight. But God is really setting us up for enlargement. He's setting us up for enlargement. You know, the scriptures talk about strengthening and lengthening our cords over there in Isaiah and increasing the capacity in us more than anything, because God is a big God. But our capacity for God isn't always as big as it needs to be. And so he enlarges us in the waiting, the scripture said, just like a pregnant woman is enlarged when she carries a child. We are enlarged in the waiting. By the way, Tamara and Terry McNaughton have a beautiful little 6-pound, 9-ounce baby girl, and born last night about 9 p.m. She's beautiful, of course. Saw her today. And I can't say she gave me a big smile, but she is beautiful and a precious treasure. So we congratulate them. So God is setting us up for that enlargement, and he's expanding us for the greater. And I'm just going to put a little plug in right now. On the second Saturdays throughout the summer of the month, we had the first one last Saturday at Fit for Christ. We're just doing a prevailing prayer night. And it's just some teaching on prayer, and then it's prayer. And then we're making room for testifying, because we know lots of people are having answers to prayer. And you might not get a chance to share that in the main service, but come on Saturday nights, the second Saturday of the month, and, you know, testify and tell us what God is doing. But we had a tremendous time of prayer on Saturday night. And you know what? The most exciting part is we saw everything we prayed about. We saw it. We prayed through the weekend services, and we prayed over the Benny Hinn service. We saw it all, answers to prayer. And I know many of you were praying outside of that, and we saw some things that we have been holding fast to and praying about. So God is enlarging us by drawing us into deeper waters, amen? Deeper waters in every area of our lives, deeper prayer, increased giving, stepping out just as simply to give a testimony. And it just takes you out into that deeper place. It all works together to the enlarging of what he wants to do on the inside of us. I still remember the story of my first prayer mentor, Billy Adams. She was a little 4'10", Dynamic Prayer Power was the name of her ministry as she eventually went out on her own. But this little woman was personal friends with Kenneth and Gloria Copeland. And when they launched into the ministry, she wanted to know what she could do to help them. And so they said, well, Billy, you could pray. And she said, okay. And so she got her little egg timer out, And she said it because she was going to pray for Kenneth and Gloria's ministry for an hour every day. Now, we got a challenge a couple of Sunday nights ago to pray an hour for our pastor, our church, our spouse, our children, for breakthroughs. Wow, an hour. And for some people, an hour is like, oh, easy, piece of cake. But for others of you, you'd be setting the egg timer and be like, just like Billy Adams, after 7 minutes, she looked at that egg timer to see if it was something wrong with it, because she had prayed everything she could think of to pray in 7 minutes over Kenneth and Gloria's new ministry. And she thought, how am I ever, ever, ever going to increase and pray an hour a day? But you know what? She kept at it. She kept setting the timer. She didn't say, oh, I can't do this. She didn't give up. She didn't throw in the towel. She didn't become cowardly and quit like we talked about a couple weeks ago. The Lord's looking for persistent people, people that are going to just get back up if they get knocked down. And that realm of prayer as well. If you commit to do something, you didn't do it already, it's been a week and you haven't done it yet. Well, don't say, well, I haven't done it, I guess I won't do it. Just pick up where you are. Maybe you need to adjust a little and say, you know what? I made a vow to pray longer than I'm going to be able to pray. I need to start out with 15 minutes. I need to start out with 30 minutes of commitment. And I'm going to set that timer and I'm going to begin to pray. But you know, it wasn't very long as she stayed consistent with that pray that something began to happen to her. She began to get revelation in prayer. She began to see some things in prayer. And she began to see how to pray for them more effectively. And you know, she had started spending time in the Word of God as she would pray. And she would start realizing that the Word of God had promises concerning their ministry and concerning everyone's ministry. Amen? I mean, all of us, not just Kenneth and Gloria written in the pages of that book, but concerning ministry. So she began to learn through that to take God's Word and pray it. And then the revelation came to her when she was in Psalm 91 one day that she not only could pray for Kenneth and Gloria to dwell in the secret place of the Most High God and remain stable and fixed under the shadow of Almighty God, whose power no foe could withstand, but that she could pray that for her husband and for her children and for the people that she loved. And so she began to expand in her prayer life. Amen? And so pretty soon she was praying an hour a day and 2 hours. And you know, before the whole story was ended, she was hired on for Kenneth Copeland Ministries as their first prayer coordinator, and her job was to pray 8 hours a day. And she did it every day for years. And then God launched her into her own prayer ministry. So, you know, we can be enlarged. We can grow in the things of God. I love that. We're ever growing. We're ever increasing. We don't ever get to the point where, okay, well, you've arrived. She's arrived. We don't now only, you know, David and Janet, they've arrived. Now Ashley and Dan just have to arrive. You know, we need to keep working on them, but they've already arrived. No, we all are working. We're all growing. We're all increasing in our faith. We're all increasing in our ability to yield to the Spirit of God. But prayer becomes so much of an adventure when we start stepping into those deeper waters that it draws you in. You know, if you've ever touched the edge of a pond and gotten your feet wet and it feels refreshing, then what happens? You start wanting to get all the way in. I can remember when Andrew was just a little boy living in Cape Cod by the ocean, and he had gotten a new pair of sneakers, and we took him down to the beach one day, and we told him, now, don't you get your new sneakers wet. And he'd go along that beach, and he would chase those waves, you know, coming in and out, you know, and he'd run back. And then he'd run out to catch it, and then he'd run back. And pretty soon we saw him look over his shoulder at us and just make one decision. I'd rather get a beating than miss out on this. So he just took off, and he ran right in the water with his new shoes and his pants and everything, because he just made a choice. I'd rather get, that water is too enticing to me. Well, that can get like you'll feel about prayer. You'll get so enticed in the realm of prayer that you're going to say, I know I got other things on my plate today, but I can't stand it. I'm going to spend some more time in prayer. I'm going to spend some more time. And like Brother Morocco said, when you start ordering your day around prayer instead of around all the things you have to do, you know, you start putting prayer first. You start making that the one thing that you're going to get done today, no matter what. It's at the top of your list. It's your priority. Then everything else, it's just amazing how you have time for everything else. But when you don't spend time in prayer and you don't make it a priority, we all know what that's like because we've all done it. We've all had those days where we have just said, I don't have time. And we have just gone on our way. And it's not like, oh, you're a bad girl, you bad boy, you didn't pray today. It's just that when you pray, things go a different way. They just go a different way. And so it's important to keep it a priority. Jesus made it his priority. He wanted to spend time with the Father. We've talked about that, how he would forfeit social time. He would forfeit food. He would forfeit sleep. He would forfeit all kinds of things. And he's just asking us, can you forfeit something to make room for me? Because I want to enlarge the room on the inside of you for me. I want to enlarge your capacity to pray. God's looking not more for than just the discipline of prayer. Now, Billy was setting that timer, but it's not just all about the discipline of prayer. He wants to get a hold of our hearts. He really wants your heart. I mean, in the Old Testament, he chastises people. He said, you know, you draw near me, but it's just with your lips. You're just doing lip service. You think you'll be heard for your much praying. So it's not just talking about a lot of yeah. It's talking about something that comes out of our heart. It's not talking about how long you can talk, how fast you can pray, how quickly you can pray in the Spirit. Jet tongues. I've heard people refer to jet tongues. This is a really tough situation. It's going to take jet tongues. It's like, really? What is that? Like we can pray really fast in the Holy Ghost and it's going to break it through. No, it's not. It's about something that comes out of your heart. But I'll tell you, sometimes the Holy Ghost will get a hold and you'll be praying in what feels like jet tongues. Because he'll take a hold and take a hold of your tongue. And you'll be praying with such fervency that it will feel like, you know, you're going really quickly. But sometimes it's breaking things through. You know, it's being led by the Spirit of God. Amen. It's being led by the Spirit. So John 15 says, we're no longer going to be called servants, but friends, because he draws us near to him. That's what that was the relationship Moses and Abraham had. He said they spoke with him face to face as a man speaks with a friend. You know, when you pray, I mean, if you're talking to a friend and you're sharing your heart, you don't do that with just anybody, do you? I mean, not everybody can handle your heart. Not anybody can hear your heart. You know, there's people that you trust with your heart. You trust them with anything. You know you could share anything because they're out for your best interest. They love you. They care about you. Well, how much greater God loves and cares about you. He wants to communicate with you heart to heart, face to face, heart to heart. Amen. Ever since I ministered a couple of weeks ago, oh, Father, let's not go from there yet. Father, we want you to move upon us in a fresh way, in a heart relationship. We want to be the kind of people that have our hearts in this. We don't want to just give you lip service. We don't want to just give you a disciplined time, although we know that that's sometimes where it starts, is to give ourselves goals to meet with you. We want that to transition to a time of absolute delight. We want, Father, to meet you face to face and heart to heart. We want to be a friend of God. And we don't want to just be able to open our heart to you. We want you to be able to open your heart to us. How wonderful it would be for you if you knew someone cared enough and someone you could trust enough to share your heart. Wow. Lord, I want to be the kind of person you can share your heart with. We want to be the kind of people, Lord God, that you can share your heart and your plans and your thoughts and your ideas. That we can be trusted, Lord God, to carry it with you. To carry things in our hearts, Father. to see things as you see them and to know you as you want to be known, to express you to others in the way that you want to be seen, so that when they meet us, they literally meet you, a concept of you that they may never have known or never experienced before. They meet an overwhelming love and an unconditional love and a prevailing love, Father, that just hangs in there and hangs with them, Father, and sees them through things. Thank you, Father, for opening us up, Lord, in a greater depth of acquaintance, as your word says, for enlarging us as we continue to wait upon you. You know, Pastor talked about Sunday, that waiting, and how it's not like, you know, being caught out here in the construction on 121. It's not that kind of waiting. It's those strands of a rope being woven together until they're so intertwined that they have strength to them. And it doesn't matter if you're praying here at ladies' meeting or you're praying in the power tower or you're praying in pre-service prayer or you're praying in the choir or you're praying in the outreaches or you're praying for the youth. Your prayers are being intertwined like ropes with the rest of this body to bring unity and to bring us together with a greater strength. We'd love to see you all up in the power tower praying. But everywhere you're praying, it's part of the bigger picture of what God is doing here. You know, ever since I ministered a couple of Wednesdays ago, it seems like I have been running into, so to speak, the same message on prevailing prayer. I love the story I heard from J.C. Hibbard's church, and was a woman there that was one of his chief intercessors, and she had a husband who was just a mean, ornery, alcoholic husband. And for years, she would pray at that church every single day. And she would pray for her husband's deliverance. And she said one day the Lord showed her a picture of a bulldog. And it was pulling on a rope, you know, or pulling on a piece of cloth, you know. And that bulldog just wouldn't let go. And the Lord said, you just have to stay tenacious about this. You just can't let go. And, you know, the story went on. Really years went by, and that woman prayed daily at the church. And she confronted all kinds of oppositions from her husband and all kinds of resistance from him with the things of God. But she held fast, and one day he was gloriously delivered, gloriously saved. And she said they both began pulling that rope together. He got just as tenacious as her, and he was a vital part of the church. And, you know, but sometimes, you know, we just have to prevail in things, and we just have to stay with things. And I love that picture. And Dr. Marco kept emphasizing that prayer commitment for the next 3 months, for our church, for our pastor, for our husbands, wives, children. I mean, do it in intervals if you have to, but stay with it. Stay with it. Like I said, we'd love to have you in the power tower. We can't brag that we're a 24-hour volunteer prayer center if we've got to pay somebody for 30 hours of the shifts every week. We need to have volunteers. And it needs to be people whose hearts are committed, amen, to seeing the vision of the church accomplished. Hallelujah. And so I want to read you a little bit from this newsletter. It's written by a really good friend of mine and a strong prayer woman. And she begins with James 5:15 from the Amplified. The earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available, dynamic in its working. And she said, there are some things we continue to pray about. Unlike the prayer of faith, we prevail until we see the desired result. All of our praying must be by faith, of course, based upon God's word. But we see from James 5 that Elijah had God's word, and yet he did pray for it to come to pass. And then she spoke a prophetic word from Brother Hagin, and she quoted him and said, don't stop in your praying because things seem to change a little bit. Keep on praying until the full answer materializes or the entire burden lifts. Don't settle for 50% victory. Don't settle for 75% victory. Don't even settle for 90 or 99% victory, but settle for nothing less than 100% victory. Amen? He said, not all of our praying is in the Spirit, but all of it is directed by the Spirit. Declare, plead, and worship your way into victory. That's because when we're saying that, we're not saying that praying in the Spirit is just praying Reba Ramba Robitussin. You know, that's not the only way to pray in the Spirit. We pray led by the Spirit. We pray full of and controlled by the Spirit and responsive to the Spirit. Ephesians 6:18 says, pray at all times, on every occasion, in every season, in the Spirit, with all manner of prayer and entreaty. To that end, you'll keep alert and watch with strong purpose and perseverance. Amen? On behalf of all the saints. So, praying in the Spirit is simply praying from a platform of victory. It's praying from that platform in God, the victory side, not praying our problems, but praying what God's Word says about it, the answers. Amen? That's what praying in the Spirit is. And as you pray, you'll listen. And as you listen, you'll hear what the Father says to do, and you'll see what to do, and you'll hear what to say. And that's praying just like Jesus did. Amen? Over in John 5. And once you have the mind of Christ and you hear his wisdom and the direction, then you can tackle things that you're facing in the natural. You know, once you've prayed and you've seen things and you've heard things, then you can go ahead and approach things in the natural. Because you've had a word from God. Somebody came up to me before the service tonight, and they said, the Lord's showed me this, and this is what I'm supposed to do, and I'm supposed to stand, and I'm supposed to believe God, and this whole thing's going to turn around, and da-da-da-da-da. Well, they didn't have that 3 days ago. But once you got that, once you spend time with God, and you've heard, and you've seen some things, then you can approach the things in the natural, and you know exactly what to do. You know exactly how to stand. Amen? You got that mind of Christ. Well, over a year ago, I was praying, and this expression kept coming to me. And I must have been maybe in an altar time, and Brother Dale Gentry was kind of passing by me, and he heard me praying. And he came to me. He said, Barbara, you're on to something. Pray that out. And I kept praying this expression, keeper of the flame. Keepers of the flame. And I would pray in the Spirit, and then I would pray, keepers of the flame. Keepers of the flame. You know, we're all praying, God, send revival, pour out your Spirit, your Holy Ghost, your fire. We're praying for souls. But God's had me praying for keepers of the flame. You see, somebody's going to have to rise up and take the call and change the diapers of all those babies, those souls that we see at these altars. And somebody has to keep putting logs on the fire. If we pray for the fire to come, then we've got to maintain the fire. Amen? And so we need praying people to be keepers of the flame. We need praying people to keep putting logs on the fire, so to speak, and continuing in prayer. That's all about being a responsible church family. In your home, you know, you wouldn't just have babies and not take care of them. That would be irresponsible. Or you wouldn't just start a fire and then just leave it. I mean, what good does that do just to have a fire and then keep letting it go out? And if you start the fire, you need to keep it maintained, right? So that it can heat the house. So I'm so proud of one of our young women here. I mean, she has come through so much. But from a seed of kindness from our pastor, she started coming to this church. Saved, delivered. Walking out her deliverance, still overcoming, barely out of diapers herself sometimes. But a couple weeks ago, I saw her at the altar standing with a woman who was weeping. And I thought she was a friend of hers. I didn't know that she was meeting her for the first time at the altar. I didn't know that she was finding out right then that she's going through some of the same struggles that she's gone through. And the next thing you know, they were exchanging numbers, and she was saying, I'll be there for you. I know what you're going through. I've walked through it too, and we need each other, and I can help you stand, and I can, you know, and she's a young toddler herself taking on a baby. Amen? And that's, I told her, it's the very best thing you could possibly do because you believe everything you say. And if you start telling her and preaching to her and ministering to her, it's just going to solidify everything in you. And so when you start giving out what you have, it just makes you stronger. It just makes you stronger. I mean, the Romans 15 in the Message Bible says, remember that strength is for service and not for status. I love that passage. We need to look at the people around us and ask, how can I help? Who does that sound like? Pastor Bob. Jesus didn't make it easy on himself by avoiding people's troubles, but waded in, helping out and taking on the trouble of the troubles. I'm telling you what, Sunday night, with all of its glory, as Charlie's already shared, what a picture of what the church looks like at full capacity. What the church looks like with people of all spirituality levels. Most of us, though excited, are asking ourselves, are we ready for this? Amen? Are we ready? Get ready, get ready, get ready. The only company coming was not for revival now. Amen? Excuse me for a minute. God is stretching us, and we need to keep enlarging in prayer. And we need to be keepers of the flame. The fire is breaking out in the youth. Young lives are being touched and delivered. Youth coming in from other places. The children's ministry just last week alone, 35 children at the altar. And vacation Bible school. And while those children were coming to the altar down the hallway, there were parents coming to the altar right here in this auditorium. Amen. God is stretching us, and we need to be ready. And Sunday night, we saw those miracle signs and wonders manifest right here in the auditorium. It sounds like rain to me. It sounds like rain to me. Zechariah chapter 10, verse 1 says, when you see and hear the sound of the rain, then what are we supposed to do? Quick, get the umbrellas. Quick, everybody. Figure out a way to keep this rain from coming in. No. It says, when you start seeing and hearing the rain, start praying and asking for more rain. That's what we're supposed to do. Well, we said, well, are we ready? Well, we better get ready. What gets us ready? Could we get ready in any other way except prayer? I mean, what else would ready us? Jude says that we pray in the Spirit, building ourselves up in our most holy faith. Keeping ourselves in the love of God. I can't think of anything more important than praying just to keep ourselves in the love of God so that we can handle a multitude of people coming in. Amen? That's what we need, that love of God. But I'll tell you what, when you start crying out for rain, we got to acknowledge rain is messy. We had a big rainstorm a couple weeks ago. It was messy. I mean, you try to get out in it, you got to fumble with umbrellas, and you're trying to get in the car, out of the car, everywhere you go, you're stepping in big puddles. I mean, rain can be messy. And I think we could probably ask those who were here on Monday morning, cleaning up, how messy it was to have an outpouring of the Spirit on Sunday night. Just how messy does it get? I can well remember in Brownsville hearing the statistics. After months and months of revival, people coming in from all over the world. I mean, they did a statistical thing one time on how many rolls of toilet paper they went through, how many pads and little pencils they had to buy for, you know. And we say, oh, all that costs something. We know revival does cost in the natural, but it pays. It pays. We have eternal rewards in the kingdom, and souls are those treasures that Charlie talked about tonight. When it says in Amplified, it says, those that love me, I'll fill their lives with true riches. True riches. Not just the earthly stuff. Thank God for what he puts in the bank account, but the true riches. Souls are true riches. He who wins souls is wise. You can fill your treasury with the true riches of souls. It's the only thing you can take to heaven with you. I mean, we can't take anything else. I've got so many beautiful things, you know, that have come to me, treasures that have come to me from my family, but I won't take any of it with me. The only thing I'm taking with me is my family. The only thing I'm taking with me is the people that I love. The only thing I'm taking with me is souls. Not just me and mine, but you know what I'm saying. I mean, it's just the only thing you're taking out of your house is hopefully your family. Glory to God. And so we have to keep our eyes on the true riches and keep our eyes on what's it going to cost. So what's it going to cost? Should we figure it out? Should we put a pen to paper and should we figure out how much toilet paper we're going to go through? Or should we say it's going to cost me some persistence in prayer? It's going to cost me some prayer that will enlarge my capacity to be ready to step into the troubles of the troubled so that I'll be ready to change the diapers. Some people are like, oh, been there, done that. I've already done diapers. When it comes to spirit, you're going to have to keep doing diapers. You know? We don't just get through our kids. Said God's looking for spiritual moms and dads. He's looking for mothers and fathers. He wants to give fathers to the fatherless. Amen? And he wants to be the El Shaddai, the many-breasted one that will feed and guide many. So we have to make room in our lives. How are we ever going to get to the point where we'll make room for that? It's going to be in prayer. Because it's in prayer that God enlarges your heart. It's in prayer that God gives you compassion. It's in prayer that you change. He changes you. He changes the nature of you. You're not the same woman, the same man. He said, well, he'll turn us into another man, another woman. Your personality will be different because you'll be more like Jesus. You won't be so touchy, fretful, and resentful. Amen. He said, prayer is going to change all that. Isaiah 50 says you can come without money and just surrender your will. You can drink of the wine and drink of the milk of God, but it won't cost you natural money. It's just going to cost you a surrender of your will. So that's all what God is doing in this time of prayer. I'm just crying out to respond to what's been spoken to us. And I know what it's meant for me personally, and I'm just passing some of that on to you to just say, Lord, I know we've got to pick up this baton. We've got to take that torch. We've got to run with it. We've got to pray. We've got to be enlarged. What we've had is good, but we've got to have more. And so we have to be enlarged. And so, Lord, help us to be bigger on the inside, you know, than we look appear to be on the outside. Help us be enlarged. I want to read you just a few passages. You know, I've mentioned this book several times, Brother Will Harn. He's praying clear through, but I want to share with you a few of the passages. He talks about waiting, because this is the kind of waiting, not the rush hour traffic, but this kind of waiting. When a burden comes upon your soul or the Spirit leads you out along the line of prayer, take time, plenty of time, to get alone with God. Stay there and don't get up. Don't be in a hurry and don't get nervous. Don't look at your watch and don't stop until you have the mind of God. Here's another one. We remember that God says, wait, those that wait upon the Lord, not work, not run, not preach, not sing, but wait. It takes more power to tarry than it does to go. Going is easy, going is luxury, but the command is to wait, 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 and we must patiently wait. We must wait until we hear from heaven. We must wait until we get the mind of God, until we understand his will, his plan, and know his commands. We must wait until he gives us a chart, a map, and a compass. Here's a good one. The reason we are so often defeated is because we rush into the battle without waiting for God's direction. Wait. Be still. Listen. Let him talk. Get quiet and close your mouth. You talked too much, so give him a chance to talk to you. He wants to reveal his will to you, his plans for you. His field needs you. He's about to speak to you, so be still. Listen to his gentle voice. Draw in your mind and prepare the way. Amen. Waiting should have your best time and not at the end of the day when your mind is tired and sleep has a hold on you. Wait early while you are fresh. Just one more. prayer gives strength, nerve, vitality, and courage. It makes work easy and the hardest task enjoyable. It illuminates the darkest corner and the service becomes a real pleasure, having lost all of its irksomeness. You may find it hard to keep at your knees, but you may for a few times find your mind away at work. But just be patient. Be determined to conquer and have the victory and enter into your closet. Stay there and soon hours will be enjoyed in this blessed way. Don't give up and don't quit just because God does not answer at once. Never be contentious about anything, but go to your closet more often and take more time to pray. Get everything out of your mind and be at leisure with nothing else to do. God will bless you, for he says, those that wait upon me shall renew their strength. Amen. So I wanted to just give a little time tonight, so let's just let's do it. I don't always like to talk about prayer and then just not do it. So let's take it up from that waiting point and let's hear from God tonight. Any of you use something from God tonight? Could any of you just need to hear? You know, when you've done all the effort of getting here to the church, you know, you've had to maybe fix dinner and eat quickly and get out and come and maybe you changed, bathed, and got here from work, and now you're sitting. And you've learned how to sit still. But your mind is still running. And so sometimes we have to make a focused effort to just get our mind to draw near to God. You've read the passages in Psalms where it says, be still and know that I am God. Sometimes it's just when you get still, you get a knowing in the inside of you. You just get a knowing everything's going to be all right. Let's just take 10 minutes. It wouldn't even be 8:40 if we took 10 minutes. Won't be late tonight. Let's just focus completely, just in your own little prayer closet right there in your pew. I want to pray for you tonight. And then we're going to take up the charge and the call to pray for our pastor as he's going to be ministering out of town. But let's just pray for you for a moment. I'm just going to pray and you just shut down for a few minutes and just listen. Hallelujah, Father. Father, I know you love these people so much. They're not just your servants, they're your friends. Lord, with all their hearts, they're serving you, Lord. They serve you. But sometimes you tell them to stop in their service and just come sit at your feet. Even after the disciples had come back and they'd experienced such tremendous miracles and they'd seen the power and the authority of your name, you'd sent them out, Lord, and you'd said, now go in my name and preach and teach and demonstrate. And they came back in awe that they were able to do everything you could do when you walked on this earth. They were able to preach the gospel. They were able to see signs and wonders. They were able to see the manifestation of their prayers. But when they came back and they wanted to just celebrate that, you said, yes, that's wonderful. I'm so glad. Rejoice even more that your names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And then come and rest a while. And he continually drew them back to him. And you're calling us, Father, all of us, to just step in a deeper level of commitment where we go and we preach and we pray and we say and we demonstrate the good news everywhere we go, that we are alert in prayer, waiting for your command, waiting for you to stretch out your hand so that we can stretch out ours and you can perform signs and wonders and miracles. But then, Lord, when we come back to our own company, sometimes it's good just to rest and be refreshed. You said there's a renewing, Lord, as we wait upon you. You said you'd lead us beside still waters and restore our souls. Our spirit's always full of energy because it's you living inside of us, Father. But sometimes our bodies and our minds get tired. And you said there is a refreshing with stammering lips and an unknown tongue. Why don't you just begin to pray in the spirit right now? Coramando si la bocuria mando do si la bocuria petite de bosso. Oh, hear the prayers and let it be for the very plan and the very things that you have in your hands for these lives, Father God, for these families, for these marriages, for this suremendo cura mendica baha. We presto broco baracoria mandando curia mestum brandi baka, that you would bless, that you would strengthen families, Lord God. Curibastum brandi macomaha. And for singles, ibashum bando curia mandica sa, the direction. Que yamanosti broco, the direction they need. The oribasa, the wisdom, Father, from above, that is so peaceable, Father God, so entreating. It would come so easily. It wouldn't be a strain and a struggle. It would just come. You would drop into their spirit the answer to things they have needed to know. And you would just begin to show, Father, by your spirit, the way for them to go. Cara di si le bosso, tota ba di le bosso. You said our labor would be easy and light. Illuminating. Illuminating, Father, let the lights come on. Let the lights come on in their homes. Turn on the lights for their family members. Bring light into darkness. Put light. Light their path. Light it up, Father. Oh, as bright as day. As bright as day. Put light in their way. For those who sit in darkness. For those who sit in darkness. Father, I pray for husbands, wives, sons, daughters, mothers, fathers, those that sit in darkness. We ask you to introduce your light. Introduce your light, Father, into their lives. Illuminate their lives, Father. Oh, yes, show up with bright light. With bright light, Father, and reveal yourself to them. Unveil their eyes, Father, where they've been blinded and cannot see. Unveil their eyes, Lord God. Unveil them. Take the blinders off. And flood the eyes of their hearts with light that they might know and comprehend the hope to which you've called them and portioned for them, Father. Thank you, Lord God. You're drawing. Father, we sense the wooing of the Spirit of God, drawing, drawing, drawing. You said that when you wooed by the Spirit, that they would not be able to gainsay nor resist the wooing of the Spirit, Father. We believe that. Just like that intercessor who was praying with like a bulldog, Father, holding on to her husband, saying, I won't let him go to hell. I won't. I'm not going to be denied. I speak deliverance for the captives. You've anointed us to do that. You've anointed us to speak a word of deliverance. Father, we do that right now. I speak deliverance. Deliverance over my nieces. Deliverance. Bring them into light. Deliverance over my nephew. Bring him into the light. Bring him into the light so they can see who you are and what you've called them to be. Oh, rabbi sora bando goromendi shiriboko manda mend. Yes, Father, you're mending relationships. You're mending relationships that have been opposed. Opposed, Father God. Broken off and opposing. Oh, Father, Adis Sabaraka, we address that assignment that has separated and divided families, and we come against it in the name of Jesus. And we say, Father, all opposition ceases. All resistance ceases. There's healing in the house. There's healing in the house. There's healing in the hearts. There's healing in the house, Father. Even marriages that have been estranged, Father. Roommates that have been estranged. Friends, co-workers that have been estranged, Father. Things that affect your people, Father God. And they hurt their hearts. They hurt their hearts. Rejection, Father. My family members. Even mothers and fathers. Husbands, wives, Father. Liberate that, Father. Liberate it. Bring liberty. Bring liberty in that. Bring liberty in those relationships. And communication. Communication, Father. Oh, thank you, Father, that they tenderly forgive one another as God in Christ Jesus has forgiven them. Yes, Father. Thank you, Lord God. All strife and bitterness and bad tempers and evil speakings and even blasphemous language be banished far from those homes, Father. And thank you, Lord God, that kind of healing and unity permeates into the church, Father. Permeates into the church in every crevice and every department and every area, Father. Working together side by side with one mind and one purpose for the gospel's sake. Yes, Lord God, thank you that as we've proclaimed, Father, this spring, unity in that Acts, Father, that book of Acts, unity. Unity. We continue to pray for our church, Father, for our family here. We continue to pray, Father, that we each draw near to you. And because we're drawing near to you, we meet one another in that unity, Father. We meet one another in your presence. And there's healing. Oh, yes, Father, there's healing in that. God, we just thank you, Father, right now as we lift our church before the throne of grace. We thank you for this place. We thank you for the grace upon this place, the empowering of the Holy Spirit to become all that you have called Calvary Cathedral International to be, to fulfill its destiny, to fulfill its purpose in this greater Fort Worth area and throughout the uttermost parts of the world, to fulfill the call, Father, the fullness of the call upon this house and for every minister, your people, Father, ministers. You said they would be called ministers of our God. Empower them. Empower them as a representative. Empower them as an ambassador from this house. Everywhere they go, show them that they're bigger with the covering of Calvary Cathedral over them. They can operate in a greater anointing than they can alone. They stay undercover. They stay undercover. They stay undercover. They stay connected. They stay connected, Father. The chain of grace, the chain of grace, extend it from this place and run, reach out. Reach out everywhere they go. Reach out, Father God, so that they can be in a flow of the Spirit when they go, Father. They're in the flow. They're in the flow. They're in that flow, Father, that's come from here. The waters that are flowing from this house. The waters, Father God, of anointing that are flowing from this house. They're in them. They're in them. They're operating in them, Father. There's a great grace upon us all. A great grace upon us all. Father, we lift up our pastor right now as he goes. We ask you to show yourself strong through him, Father. Show yourself mighty. Show yourself powerful. Give him words, Father God, that are fitly spoken in due season. give him words, Father, that he's heard from the throne of God, that when he delivers them, people will know that it's you speaking to them. Words, Father God, that he's heard in that time of waiting upon you, Lord. Give him that time. Let him take that time. Lord, we thank you that as he goes, you protect him in joy as they travel. Everything goes smoothly. Lay the track before him, Father, that's smooth. Everything easy, easy connections, timely. Thank you, Father God, that it all just flows, Father, because we just prepare the way right now. We just prepare. We pave the way for smooth travels, Father. Make it easy, Lord God. A spirit of ease upon them as they go. And upon everyone that stays with the stuff. Everyone that stays and handles the stuff as they're gone, Father, thank you that it's easy. It's easy in the house with Janet. It's easy among the caregivers. It's easy here at the church. There's everything flows, Father God. And Father, we just declare as we sow him, we thank you for increase in the house. Increase in the house. We give him forth, Father, to carry out the anointing, but we receive back a harvest of increase in the house. Greater anointing, increase in finances, increase in answers to prayer and breakthroughs, that it just continues to flow even as Pastor goes. Now, Father, we listen. I've been here in this atmosphere so many, many, many times when you drop things in my heart. Just as I was sitting here in a service. Things that I may have wept about and prayed fervently about and cried out for and didn't seem to hear an answer. And then I came in the sanctuary. All of a sudden, I couldn't figure it out, Lord. All it gave me was a splitting headache. As Psalm 73 says in the message. But then we came in the sanctuary and we saw it clearly. Let this place be a place where we see clearly, Lord. Just a pure atmosphere of your presence. Pure and clean. Place we can come to hear and draw near. How many of you successfully brought your minds in tune with the Lord for 15 minutes? If you did, you had victory tonight. 15 minutes with no timer. You were able to just put your attention on the Lord. Now, how many of you admit, say, man, I just couldn't get my mind quiet. I just had... How many just admit it, say, I just had a hard time, yeah. Hey, I know. I've been there many times. But you know what? This is what does it. This is how you train your mind and train your body to be still and know that he's God. And all of a sudden you go away and you're, wow, it was just 15 minutes and I open my eyes and I don't even feel like I'm in the same place as I was when I closed my eyes. And you start thinking, I want to go back there. I want to go there again. I want to just yield to the Spirit of God. I want to put a little music on at home, and I want to just yield to the Spirit and just make myself available to him. See what he wants to pray about through me. And all of a sudden, you have a greater capacity. You say, hey, I didn't just talk about all my problems with God. I prayed for somebody else. I prayed for my pastor, and I prayed for my church, and I prayed for others, for their families, and wow, that was good for me. It's good for us. keeps us enlarging. Amen. Well, hallelujah. Glory to God. Thanks for being here. How about you men in the back? Was it good to sit still for a few moments? Is that good? My desire is, I'm sure yours is that we would learn how to practice His presence all the time. That even when we're like Dr. Frank Laubach and Brother Lawrence, when they were cutting up the vegetables and they were carrying on with their day, they learned how to just constantly be aware of the presence of God. Just constantly bring their hearts back to there. Because remember tonight what we said, it's all about the heart. It's not just, you know, what we say. We could have sat in silence for 15 minutes. It would have been good for us. But you know what I'm saying? It's not just about what we're saying. It's just our heart connecting to the heart of God. So, hallelujah. Well, sit as long as you want to. I don't think they'll be turning the lights off. It's only 8:45 and they had them on until midnight the other night, so. Glory be to God. Charlie, you want to take it and close it in any way? All right.